from listening to the Rainmakers. And Mike, on this date, September 8th in 1966, two series premiered on television. That Girl, starring Marlo Thomas, and Star Trek, starring William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, and the boys, including Scotty, who just passed away a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say that Star Trek, although it didn't last as long as That Girl, I think That Girl probably lasted more than three seasons.
Oh, yeah?
I'm guessing that show. Star Trek had a bigger impact. All right. Captain Kirk.
These are the voyages of the Star Trek.
Who has gone on to a successful career with whatever the heck that website is.
That's right. eHarmony.com. No. And then in 1957, Pope Pius XII, count them, Pius XII, put out an encyclical on motion pictures, radio, and television, speaking of television. And I believe it was, the Latin for it was Rerum Sespulum.
I'm sure that's exactly what it was.
Or was that Rerun Sespulum? In any case.
And don't believe a word of it.
I've not read it, but I understand it's dramatic and comedic all at the same time.
You're talking about Rerum Sespulum?
Yes. But there are no car chases, apparently.
I think Spike Lee is slated to do the movie.
Well, he should get the rights quick because I'm after him, too. All right, back to hurricane coverage. The recovery plans. I was listening a little bit to what Tulane University and a couple of other schools are doing and also what some businesses are doing. Of course, the some colleges have canceled their term. For example, Tulane University canceled the fall semester. But they did tell their students, if you can get into another college and get credits, we will transfer the credits. And also, those colleges should let you in tuition free since you've already paid tuition at Tulane, and we'll make arrangements with them.
That's mighty nice.
Well, I think each situation would be individual, and you'd have to check with admissions and all of that. But Tulane was going to get a website up this week to deal with all of this. And
I know.
I need to call George Mason, actually, and find out if George Mason has taken any in here right up the road, because I would consider having a student stay at my place for the fall semester.
The only
if they were displaced.
I know of locally that's doing that is Howard University. They're admitting, I think, 54 students from mm-hmm. that area.
Okay.
That's only university I know of locally. I'm sure Mason.
Well, and then they talked about how the sports teams from, I guess it was from LSU, are spread around different universities. Or maybe it was from Tulane. I guess it was from Tulane. Their football team is practicing at LSU, which is in Baton Rouge, and the different varsity sports are spread around at different Texas universities. So that's how they're dealing. What I think is interesting is they don't have classes this semester, but they're making sure they keep the varsity sports teams intact and practicing and playing,
mm-hmm.
which I think is weird.
Yeah.
They're going to play their football games, I guess, but they just can't hold classes.
They got the priorities right down there.
That reminds me of a joke the dean used to tell at the University of Kentucky, which was that, you know, after a few years, as the basketball team got better and better and, you know, was a national contender perennially, they said, you know, this is a real good arrangement, and they decided to build a university to go with the team.
Not surprising.
Well, that's a joke, my boy.
I know it is.
So, the other thing is businesses, of course. Anybody that owned a business is in trouble because maybe you were trying to make payments, maybe you were counting on revenue, whatever it is, your employees are out of luck, but the person running the business is out of luck. So, the Hard Rock Casino was scheduled to open in Biloxi Saturday night, the Saturday after Katrina hit. I keep doing that. After Katrina hit. So 5 days after it hit, it was scheduled to open. Well, that's a total loss. And, of course, anybody that planned to work there and pay their visa bills with the money from that, those folks are in trouble. Mm-hmm. So everybody's making alternate plans, but some of these places will never be rebuilt. Some of these businesses will never be rebuilt, and a lot of them will be. So that will take time. But then when you talk about rebuilding, how to rebuild and what to rebuild in New Orleans, we'll save that for the end, because first we need to cover the disconnect, first of all, and a little bit of what has gone on. So the major kind of a disconnect that we're talking about here is that the Bush administration was essentially saying, we're making progress, and we're turning the corner, and
the flood is in its last throes.
That's right. And the reporters were saying, there are people, it's bedlam down here, and nothing's being done yet. Where's the food? Where's the water? Where are the rescue vehicles? There are rapes and murders and robberies going on in the city, in the Superdome, and something needs to be done. And so the disconnect was that the Bush administration's representatives were saying everything was pretty rosy. So the two people on the hot seat here are Michael Chertoff, first of all, the director of Homeland Security, and then secondly, Michael Brown,
The head of FEMA.
The head of FEMA. And we're going to talk a little bit about Mike Brown's qualifications before we're done here, because I didn't realize beforehand.
Oh, he's a Bush crony. You didn't know that?
Well, not so much a crony as he's a hack. I don't know if he's a good friend of Bush's, but he raised some money for Bush.
But he's also severely unqualified to be the head of FEMA.
Yes, he is. And we've discovered that this week. I think the whole country's discovered it. And we're going to talk about this. But let's start with Chertoff. Basically, Chertoff was saying that you got to cut Bush and the Bush administration some slack because the breaking of the levee and the massive flooding, it came as a surprise. Now, this is 12 hours after the local media reported on it. And also, Tim Russert asked, how could the president be so wrong, be so misinformed? And this was the quote where Bush said, I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees. Right? I'm going to save this quote for a little bit later, because I got several Bush quotes that were classics this week that we want to go over. But they basically asked Chertoff, how could he be so wrong? And Chertoff went back and said, well, people were saying we dodged a bullet the day after, right? Katrina made landfall on a Monday. Tuesday, it looked like the worst was over. And then the levees broke overnight Tuesday night, and people got up Wednesday morning and discovered water in the streets where there had been no water before. And that's when the city knew it was in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying that you can't blame the Bush administration because this didn't really happen over the weekend when there was a state of emergency, and it didn't really happen on Monday when the hurricane hit. Didn't really happen until Tuesday night. But, of course, there were already people at the Superdome from Saturday on who needed food and water and protection, and there weren't enough guards there and all of that. Apparently, the Superdome was a mess. I didn't really realize this, Well, I knew it was a mess in the restrooms and that it was garbage everywhere and all of that, but I can only imagine what the cleanup must be like in there.
Oh. They're contemplating just tearing it down. Because it received some structural damage as well. The roof's been destroyed and stuff like that. I mean, they're thinking about just writing it off. And I have to think that a lot of that might be psychological as well. Just flatten the Superdome and to bury all the memories of the horrific images that came from there,
well,
in the convention center.
Yeah, but it's not like this is Abu Ghraib. I mean,
yeah.
Although, there apparently, what's interesting that I didn't realize was that it was quite dark inside. I guess I thought the dome would let light in. Doesn't the Superdome dome let some light in during the day?
This one is enclosed completely.
I know it's enclosed, but isn't it like the Minneapolis dome where it's a translucent bubble on top? No.
No, sir.
Okay, because they said it was dark inside, and even all day long and all night long. And so there were rapes and assaults muggings, all kinds of things, harassment going on, and there were nowhere near enough soldiers in there to keep track of it. Now, this is where we get to this whole issue of who asked for troops? When was the state of emergency declared? Who asked for National Guard troops, and did they ask early enough? And why weren't there Guard troops in the Superdome in advance of this, knowing that you were going to have up to 20,000 people there in the dark, possibly in the dark? They guess they didn't assume it'd be dark, but they had to consider the possibility the lights go out in a hurricane.
I know. That's why I don't understand why they chose the Superdome.
Well, you'd think you'd have alternate generators there, wouldn't you? You'd have generators. All you need is a few lights shining around the arena to give enough light so that people can see pretty much what's going on. In any case, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about not simply the situation at the Superdome, but this whole issue of the disconnect and who said what when, because we're going to play the blame game a little bit. Actually, we're going to commiserate with all sides, and then we're going to play the blame game.